What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
It's interesting because it's like the art of the action film, I feel like, is missing a little bit. I'm saying that realizing we do, because, you know, Marvel, you know, and Star Wars and like Disney, like their franchises are the big action films now, you know, for the most part.
Right. Yeah. Fast and Furious,
you know, and then it's like, whatever movie The Rock is doing. Right. And then every blue moon, we get something like a Kingsman, or is that based off comics?
John Wick.
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay.
But John Wick is just an original idea.
Yeah, John Wick, you know, or the this like, well, but Uncharted's based off a video
game. Yeah,
Uncharted's a video game. Atomic Blonde. Wait, is that a comic, Atomic Blonde?
Ooh.
I don't know. But The Rock is actually the one who's upholding, you know, action films, right? Like, it's like he has the original. I mean, like, he does the franchises, obviously, like Jumanji and Fast and Furious. But then he'll do like, you know, Jungle Cruise and freaking, you know, Central Intelligence and Skyscraper, you know, like,
yeah,
there aren't too many of those, right?
There are.
Yeah, I think the problem is they were so, people used to consider them like so muscle bound, but like, I grew up loving them. Like, again, to me, y'all can, the best action movie ever made to me is the original Die Hard. It is flawless to me. It is.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great. Then you got Predator, the original, when they do like the handshake, but they're really arm wrestling with each other for no reason. Like, it makes no, I don't know, man. I don't know why they aren't doing well.
I mean, I do think that just there is generally, like, because everyone's leaning towards like, we have to make sure that people are coming. So they want it to be like an IP that already is established or a franchise already. So that
it's the loss of the movie star. That's yeah. one of the you're right. That's one of the things, because it would be like, I'm going to go see Will Smith in Enemy of the State, even though there's no IP attached to this, because it's like, I like Will Smith, you know, it's like, I want to see, you know, Tom Cruise in Oblivion, or like, you know,
I mean, it's tricky because I think I slowly feel like we're kind of seeing that every now and then. Like, I know, you know, wrestling fans know The Rock as a wrestler, but for a lot of people, like, he is The Rock, you know what I mean? And he can sell a movie. Like, to me, when you think about Zendaya, like, we talk about her, but like, there's no, like, she's Mary Jane, but like, Mary Jane isn't the lead, you know what I mean? But like, people will show up to see Zendaya. Like, there's been times where, what is it, they were talking about the Dune poster alone. They were like, hey, put her face in the middle.
But I know, but she's not, I mean, like, she's still attached to these huge IPs. Like, it's not like, it's like, she has to sell a movie. Like, I don't know how many people actually saw Malcolm Marie. We'll never know because Netflix has their numbers. But it's like, she's got to sell a movie by herself for me to be like, you're a movie star. Like, because I think an influencer and a movie star is a different thing.
I mean, they're so interchangeable.
Well, here's the thing, though. The reason that I feel like they're not is that a movie star gets people to come out to see their movie in droves, as opposed to influencers, I think, can get interactions, you know.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. True. There's, you know, I don't know. I don't know exactly what the art of war is, but there's a difference to it, you know?
Right. No. No, not that. No.
Yeah, no, because he doesn't know exactly what the art of war.
Yeah.
James, what are you doing? Are you helping
is,
him?
You know, no, right. No, I'm just saying that I feel like I agree that he doesn't know what the art of war.
But James, time out. We can collectively say,
do you, Gerard, know the art of war?
But you time out, okay? James, we can collectively say that was a bad one, James. Like, why are you helping this?
I don't know, because it's, you know, because when you're really thinking about it.
Oh, wait, is this a part of your process? Like, are you doing the art of war to Bray? Like, are you pretending to...
Am I art of warring?
Is he doing the art of war to Bray? That doesn't make any sense, Jira.
It does. The art of war.
Wow, you clearly don't know what the art of war is.
Oh.
All right. I feel like on that, we should start the show.
Jonathan Braylock, James III, Jira Milligan.
What more can I say?
Have y'all tried to read that book? It is exhausting.
No, I looked at it and I was like, oh.
I was like, I can read this.
No. Listen, the prince, it's hard enough to get to the prince, and that's like 50 pages.
Dude. Get me out of there.
It's truly like 50 pages, and you're still like,
ugh. Tired. Just tired.
All right. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Blah, 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 blah.
You've done this before. Blah, blah. This is reused.
Blah, 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 blah.
Blah. This is reused.
Blah, 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 I feel like these are bad flats, though.
No one even had a machine gun. Blah,
blah, blah. That's my thing. Beep-bop. Wait, hold on. Wait a minute. Now you're
is that supposed to be the end? That supposed to be the end? They're whatever fight. Yo, I can't believe I'm about to talk about this movie.
Yeah, it was all of I did everything. I did a, you know, that was a medley, if you will.
Well, before we kind of get into it, I just want people to know that the voice you're listening to right now.
Why?
This voice that sounds like, wait a minute.
No.
Is that a government agent? Or is it just...
So a snitch?
Or is it just a random, you know, everyday average Joe on the street? I can't tell. There seems like there's layers to this person.
What option of a voice is this?
That voice, the voice that seems like there's layers, you know, there's levels to this. That voice is Jonathan Braylock. So if you're wondering.
Oh my gosh. They know the voices. They can literally tell the voices.
They've listened to the for the first time. That's who.
Yeah, if this is the first time they're listening to, then you have to describe.
If this is the first time you're listening to the podcast, okay, this voice is that of Gerard Milligan, and I'm already frustrated.
And if you're listening for the first time right now,
you have to do the voice you're going to do for the rest of the episode.
Goddamn cartoon. Goddamn cartoon. You do this every time.
If you're listening now for the first time, this voice is James III.
Okay, but now when you talk regular, they don't...
They're going to know.
Okay, yeah. You're right. There it is. We are a film review podcast, okay? We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. Today, we're reviewing the 2000 film, The Art of War, starring Wesley Snipes. Okay? Ooh, nice. Action hero. Movie star.
Blade.
The Art of War. Blade. Blade himself. You may or may not have seen The Art of War. I don't know if you know this, but it cost $60 million to make this movie.
Some of our listeners may not have been born when this movie came out.
No, that's...
I don't like that fact.
Definitely true. That's certainly like that true. but it's fine. I mean, the first movie we reviewed was Beverly Hills Cop, and none of us were alive when that movie first came out.
Well, that's true.
So that's fine.
This came out in 2000, a year before 9/11 because the Twin Towers make an appearance in this movie. And I was like, what?
Oh, it's so crazy because I didn't remember seeing a skyline shot that included them. And I was like, were they not in the movie? But I guess I just missed that shot.
Oh, yeah, they did it. Mm. I think early on. And this movie cost $60 million to make it. It made $40
million. 60?
Worldwide at the box office.
Damn.
Oof.
It has a 16% on Rotten Tomatoes.
60?
16.
Oh wait. God,
so bad.
one six.
Wait. So bad.
What's the audience score?
But the audience score is 35%.
Why you built that up so
well, I mean, it's almost twice as much. Hey, it's actually more than twice as much.
It's over twice. Yeah, it's more than twice as much.
So
wow.
All right. Well,
Based off 25,000 ratings, the 35% audience score. Wow. So interesting. This movie is about, I actually don't even know what you call it, a United Nations agent?
Which, a United Nations special agent.
I don't know if that's a real thing or...
Well, that's the whole thing, right? Is that it's a...
Great. It's in a movie. It's real.
It's a
covert... Yeah, you're not supposed to know. So maybe it is real.
Yeah, so the Men in Black, but for the UN.
He has to kind of unravel this mystery that he's in the center of because he was framed for murdering a Chinese diplomat. And there are tensions because there's a trade agreement that's going to happen between China and the United States, and which has global implications, of course. And if he doesn't figure this out, then that trade agreement might be off, or I don't know, something bad's going to happen. We actually don't even know what it is until much later in the movie when they explain it to us, and then we still don't know. But I think that's all there is to say. And who wants to go first to talk about the art? James, I think James was...
I think I should go first.
I feel like you rubber stamped the...
No, y'all, see, this is what happened.
It was on our list. And I think somebody said, I think a fan... I do believe a fan suggested that we review this movie.
We should stop listening to them then.
Hey, that's me.
Yeah, this is the exact order. Since we're making sure people know how we picked the movie, this is the exact order. This is what happened. It was on the list. Fan probably said something, got on the list. Then
I said, should we do a movie? I said, should we do a movie on the list? Yeah.
Yeah. Then another person was like, yeah, I'll do Art of War. And then there was two Art of Wars. So then I was like, all right, cool. That was the one I supported out of all the names. It already had two people going for it. So I was like, I'll be the third person.
That's
saying,
actually,
great.
Because I listed a couple. I listed some of the films that were on there.
Yeah.
And Jirai, I think, said, let's do The Art of War.
Yeah.
And then I said, that's fine. And then you said, I want to do a silly film.
I said, sure.
And then yeah. And then Jirai was like, so then let's do School Days. And then you were like, no, let's do The Art of War.
No, correct. I said, let's, I
correct.
Said.
No, that's what happened. That was
no,
what happened.
No.
Trot's looking back at it.
I'm looking at how dare both of you? Because y'all had me convinced. You know what? That's true. I list Chirac, Art of War, or something new.
See? Didn't you say it first? You the one who said Art of War first.
It was in a list.
And here's the thing. When you said something new, I didn't realize that that was a movie. I literally just thought you were saying like something new from the list. So I thought it was just between Chirac and Art of War. You're right. And then I said Art of War because I feel like we need a black woman to do Chirac.
Yeah. And you didn't even think that something new was another. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I didn't think that something new was another movie.
So then I came in after there were two votes for Art of War. Then I was like, all right, cool. Out of board. Then I was third one, you know, just bringing that together. And listen, I'll just say this.
I blame the list.
I mean, it was the listeners.
I blame the list.
I know. Yeah, it's the list. I know
there's
where this is going.
There's a lot of build up to this.
No. I know where this is going.
Initial thoughts. They don't even know where we're, how we're going to feel about it.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to say this. I thought the movie was fine. This movie spawns two sequels. Okay. There's
Wait,
Art of War
what?
2 and Art of War 3. Art of War 2 came out in 2008. Art of War 3, I think, came out in 2009.
Wait, no.
That
yeah.
can't be real.
Nope, it is real. It's all real. Tretch plays Wesley Snipes' character in the third one, but Wesley Snipes plays his character in the second one. So I don't know why.
In 2008, there was a straight-to-DVD, direct-to-DVD release of The Art of War 2, Betrayal. That's amazing because the first movie is about betrayal.
Yep. But the second one is called Betrayal.
Wait, isn't Tretch?
So that's all I'm going to say.
Wait, hold on, James. Isn't Tretch the person who plays the TV version of Blade?
Oh my God, is that true?
No, that's Sticky Fingers.
Okay. So I'm just going to say, like, you know, I thought the movie was fine. There's a reason I hadn't seen it before, you know, that we'll probably get into as we, you know, everybody says all of their thoughts. But I thought the movie was fine. I liked Wesley Snipes in it. I don't know. It felt very like by the numbers in terms of action movies. You just sort of knew what was going to happen. You know, you knew the whole plot of the movie as you was watching it. So I kind of felt that a little bit. I really liked this, the woman in this. Hold on. I had it
wow.
up.
Wow.
Marie. I liked her. I thought she was Marie Matico. I liked her and I wanted her to be in more stuff after this, but she wasn't. And anyway, I don't know. I don't know what else to really say because I feel like we'll talk about it as we get into it. But I thought the movie was fine. I don't get how it had two sequels afterwards. I don't know if it's like that level of...
I don't understand.
...of movie, yeah.
It's so late too. I mean, it also was a box office disaster, so that's kind of weird.
Yeah, so like, how did they manage to do
this?
You
know what? I'll go. Oh, wow, this movie has 11 award nominations?
What?
For what? Razzies?
Genie Awards. It's the winner of a Golden Reel Award for the Genie Award.
Bray, what are you talking about? You making stuff up.
Yeah, did you just start Bray. Naming you just started
Come
putting,
on, man.
You started stringing together words.
It's the winner of Best Cinematography for the Canadian Society of Cinematographers.
Why are you doing this? Canada's going through so much right now. Canada's going through so much. And now you're talking about they gave this. Don't do this, Bray.
Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, you know, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have. But it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate. When you're not working,
it's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know,
I got the shakes, and you know the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009, and what are we in April? Soon to be May, and I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aide, and I'm like. Who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in, like, sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah. I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting in certain situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I use BetterHelp and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. But sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling. And I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp!
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else.
like up to 60% off select hotels, to Costa Rica or five-star hotels for two-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
Here's my thing. I'm like, I'm down Wesley Snipes as an action hero. You know, I think he's great. It was so fun to see him in a movie. And this was like kind of, it's like giving you like, you know, it's like spy thriller vibes. It's interesting. It's like, I don't know. I feel like I don't think this the movie deserves a 16%.
What do you think it deserves? What would you say? What do you think the critics should have given it?
I think the critics should have given it a 50%.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Why not?
Right. It's not fresh. 50? It's not fresh, right? 50 is not fresh, right?
Because 58% is like right in the middle. It's like right in the middle of, you know, the grade.
I give it 42.
Yeah, getting a 16 means like it was trashed. Like there was like no one had anything good to say about it, really.
Here's my thing. I honestly feel that way because I look at this movie and I'm like, okay, yeah. It's inoffensive because it's just an action movie. And I like Wesley Snipes. So, like, what more do you want? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, a good action movie, I get. That's the more that you could want. But still.
What? That's the more you could want.
Why they have so many scenes in the rain? That's what I want to know. Why was every scene, it don't rain
can
that
I
much.
Can I say something about this movie? That I genuinely mean this. I think this movie has some really good actors in it. I think this dude, Maury Shaken, who played the like, I was like, this actor's really good.
Yeah.
I think Wesley Snipes did really well. And I agree with you, James. I feel like Marie Matico, she had a vibe to her that was very appealing. And obviously it has Donald Sutherland and like Carrie, I forgot how you say, Hiroyuki. Let's see. What's he been in? Because I've seen him in a lot of things.
Shang Tsung.
Yes, exactly. In Mortal Kombat.
Are you?
Finish him. Wait, is the guy you like, Bray? That's John Connor's dad. That's a Terminator dude, right? The bad guy?
No, Michael Bane is John Connor's dad. Michael Bane.
Wait, which guy are you talking about, Bray?
Yeah, he's all right. I'm talking about the FBI agent who was like trying to tracking him down the whole time.
Oh. You know?
Oh, he's in My Cousin Vinny Mouse.
He's like the Tommy Lee Jones in U.S. Marshals.
Yeah. You know?
It's the same movie.
I feel like we don't have actors like that. I mean, maybe we do, actually, and I just don't recognize them. But I feel like that kind of character actor who can be in like a pretty significant role of a pretty big budget film, but isn't famous. Like people don't know his name necessarily, but like he's clearly like a really good actor. I want more of that instead of like giving an influencer the part. No offense to influencers.
You want someone who knows how to act to have a part in a movie where they have to act.
Yeah. I will say in terms of our podcast, I do have to point out that it's annoying that Wesley Snipes is the only black person in this film. It's like really annoying. It was really annoying to me.
There's a black cop. He laughs.
Okay. You're right.
There is a black cop who laughs. That is true.
There's a black cop who laughs.
Sorry.
I just felt like there were a lot of different roles, you know. I get there was a lot of Chinese roles, obviously, because that we were dealing with that. But like I was just like, you couldn't get just one other black person in this movie? I don't know. I don't like that. Cause then they also like make comments. We'll talk about it. I don't know. It was that part I didn't like that part.
No.
Oh, that's man, Maury Shaken passed in 2010. R.I.P. Maury Shaken. Oh, man,
great actor.
I think I saw this movie. I think I saw, like, my stepdad and uncle watching this movie when I was younger, so I wasn't allowed to watch it. And this time watching it, you know how you see a movie and you're like, that happened. You know, like, you don't feel like this was terrible. You don't feel like it was great, but it's like, hey, you know what? One thing I loved about this movie, Wesley Snipes' waves, you know he had a durag, a silk one. You know, his waves were, man, my man's skin, whatever his regimen was in 2000 was ahead of the game. Look, this movie, I never needed to see the movie again. Also, the thing is, they kept referencing the book like, oh, we turned, it was the whitest thing ever. It was like, white lady, we turned your culture, your wisdom against you. Like, no, you didn't. You didn't, literally, again, I only read one chapter. But in that one chapter, I know this movie has shit to do with the art of war. I can tell you that much.
There is that one point when they say a chapter that's basically describing why Wesley Snipes is at the key to this. There's that one point where they're like, in case you didn't know why we called it Art of War, it's because there's this one chapter when this happens. I thought that was funny.
I honestly, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was watching this movie and I was like, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was watching it, like, Bray, you're right. This is a generic action movie, but not even a fun one. Like, there's some of those action movies people hate. Like, I love Tango and Cash. I would lose anything to remake Tango and Cash. Bombed. It's a very silly movie, but people are having fun, okay? You know what I mean? Commando, Arnold Schwarzenegger lifts up a Jeep. Like, just lifts up a Jeep. Does it make sense? No. No. He literally has Alyssa Milano in one hand, like a baby, and then like 14 or something year old Alyssa Milano, and it has a grenade launcher in the other arm. That's the kind of shit I'm looking for, okay?
It's incredible.
You know, give me Passenger 57, all right? Give me Demolition Man. What was this? What was this? Can't even do cool black man shit, except for wear a turtleneck, which I thought was fire, with a blazer.
He spun around and hit the mirror, remember? And then all the shit was behind
him. Why did he spin? Why did he spin? Also, that scene was so graphic when they killed that lady. I was like, why is this scene so graphic? Guys, what are you supposed to say about the movie? I'm done.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, well, no. Well, you know, if we get into it, this opening sequence was fun. That was fun. This opening sequence, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I'm just wondering, Gerard, because I mean, I don't know. But like, this movie had a $60 million budget. That seems like a pretty big budget for an action movie, right?
The money went to Wesley.
Oh, is that what happened? No, did it though?
Dang, it didn't. He didn't pay his taxes.
Wait, hold on. Let me see. Is this around?
Oh, shoot. Because that's the thing that I'm confused by. Because like, did you like the directing of this movie?
I personally can't figure out where the money went. I mean, I was thinking like, oh, maybe because they actually filmed in, it looks like they filmed on location in New York. There's not a ton of like crazy shootouts. There's no car chases. There's no explosions.
Well, there is a car chase. Yeah, there's the car chase with him and like the truck, and he's like on the truck,
yeah,
and that
yeah, yeah.
And
yeah
that,
the car
and
chase
that car goes into a forklift. They definitely destroyed that car.
There's that. there's visual effects as well, like the shooting of the gun and stuff.
This movie costs more than Deadpool.
We got to talk about.
This movie costs more than Deadpool, y'all.
I'm trying to think of what. Well, Deadpool had a relatively small cast. This movie had like several large crowd scenes, you know, a lot of explosions.
But it didn't feel necessary. Like, for instance, like Wesley Snipes, we all know, is an actual martial artist. And like, you would think him in a movie called The Art of War, it's like, all right, cool. I'm about to see Wesley out here like fucking people up, breaking arms and shit. And he kind of had a fight scene every now and then. But like, this is the thing. I think the beauty of Wesley Snipes is Wesley Snipes can actually like fight any smooth as hell. And in this movie, I feel like we didn't get the two things combined. You know what I mean? Like, that's like watching a Will Smith movie and he's not being charismatic. It's like, all right, well, why'd I watch this?
To me, the main problem of this movie is what I brought up in my kind of opening thoughts, which is we don't know what the stakes are. Outside of there are high stakes for the character in the sense that people are out to kill him, right? That's cool. But then the mystery, like the mystery of the plot is like such convoluted, like political kind of jargon that it's hard to really, you know what I mean? It's hard to care. It's like when you have these kind of spy movies, like whenever people make fun of action movies, they'll be like, oh, it's generic, blah, blah. But the thing is, good action movies are also generic. but they just do it well, right? And so one of the things to me, a generic thing you need is you need a good villain, and you need to understand at a certain level what that villain's motivation is. And that villain's motivation, like if that villain wins, it needs to feel like it's affecting like real people in a real way. And a lot of the moves in this thing are like to cover up something, and then it's like the thing that we think it is for most of the movie is essentially the villain is just this Chinese businessman who wants to cut off this trade agreement so that he can keep the monopoly of his business. And then they're trying to explain like why this agreement, this trade agreement between China and the US is like important for the economies and blah, blah, blah. But like, it doesn't really affect people in a way that like tangible or like gutter, you know, so I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, it's wrong, I guess. But like, why do I care if a Chinese businessman gets to keep his monopoly in China? I don't give a crap.
Yeah, it wasn't personal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like the justification is like you have to watch CNN and know everything that's wrong that they're talking about on CNN. And then there's also explosions. Like,
and the movie's called The Art of War. You know, it's like you would think that the movie was about somebody who's literally trying to start a war between China and the U.S. that could have like that will be World War III, and they'll have deadly that I could be like, oh, shoot, you got to stop this because we can't have World War III. You know, but it's not.
It's about if you sacrifice an agent, if you sacrifice one of your own, and then that's how you can gain, you know, steps.
Technically, this movie is said they're playing the Art of War, but this is like chess, but not even like a good game of chess. You know what I mean? This is like you're playing with somebody on one of those little boards that half the board is like chess. The other half is like, you know, you flip it and it's the checkerboard. You know what I mean? It's like, that's right with the basics of this movie. No, but I'm saying, but you know, the color sometimes on the little, the bold one, it's like the black and white. And then you, on the other side, it's like the red and black. Flip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, never mind. I ain't talking to y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, right. You flip the sides.
This movie borrows heavily. This movie borrows from a lot of movies, obviously, but this movie, the beginning of this movie borrows heavily from Mission Impossible. And one of the things that made Mission Impossible such a great thing that spawned an amazing franchise, right? It was like, you have this well-organized team that comes together, you know, and they carry out a mission up top, which is what they do in this film, right? They carry out this kind of mission that was like, it was like in the ballpark of like, okay, you know, we only have two other people as opposed to Mission Impossible. I think there was like five or six other people on the team, you know?
And so, and there's only one person on the ground, but in this one, whereas in Mission Impossible, it was like, everybody was doing, there were a bunch of people on the ground, there's like one person in the booth, you know, like that stuff's right. Cool.
And then, you know, in Mission Impossible, of course, this happens pretty early on. Spoiler alert, if you've never seen the movie, you should go see it. Skip forward a couple, like 40, 45 seconds or whatever. But they kill his whole team, almost his whole team. And it's like that. And then he's kind of set up. And so like now he's on the run, you know. And it's like this movie does that a little bit later, but it kind of essentially does the thing where it's like his team dies and now he's on the run, you know, and it's like, who, I got to figure out who's doing this. But we don't, but because it's also, it's like, it's weird. It feels like they're giving the black dude the, like, it's like, he's a UN agent. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't get.
He doesn't have health insurance.
He doesn't have health. Yeah, he literally doesn't have health insurance. He doesn't get tech, you know. And I understand. Maybe they're like, that's not what this movie is.
Well, he
this
had movie it for isn't a
James
bit.
Bond. It's not, there's no like cool tech or whatever.
Well, something I did like, I did actually like the glasses tech and how they would like cut to like you would see his POV broadcast on the like on the screens in the party. That was actually like one of the coolest things about the movie to me was it was like, oh yeah, they're doing like first person POV, like something that becomes even, it's way more popular to even see now in movies because of video games and stuff. But it was so cool to like see him. You got to do the wide shots and see Wesley actually doing the kicks. And then you would just see the close up of like the person fighting him. I did like that.
I guess. But you know what it is? Is wait, first up a question. Do we have any like black spies or like, you know, like do we have a Mission Impossible, James Bond, kind of, you know, Jason Bourne?
Do we have a franchise?
Or just no. A guy. Do we have like a guy who was like
You mean historically or
Eddie Murphy played it was in I Spy. And then The Rock was in Central Intelligence.
Yeah. And then these, and then probably a bunch of Wesley movies.
And then Will Smith was in Spies in Disguise, a movie where he gets turned into a pigeon.
No, don't do that. don't do Spies in Disguise.
Oh, but you know, we got Braised Paper Person. We got Vin Diesel, because he's technically like a secret agent with gadgets. And in Mission
Impossible,
Fast and the Furious. I thought you said we have a black spy.
You know, Vin Diesel. I'm talking about James.
I'm not involved in this conversation.
Why, James? James is like, I want no part.
I'm sorry. I just was confused
I was saying we got one. That's like 20 years. Yeah, man. Vin Diesel been doing it. He got darker over time. Let me stop.
I want
Gerard,
no parts.
Stop. We know you don't want any parts. I, James.
No, don't try to flip this. We did the voices at the beginning. Everybody
knows
who's talking
right now.
That's not
the voice you did at the beginning. That's not the voice you did.
I don't want no parts in this.
Literally, it's so by the numbers that it's like.
It's entirely too by the numbers. I just wanted to interject.
The only thing that's remotely interesting is the fact that you're like, well, who's trying to kill him? And because that's the only thing you're thinking about, you keep just going, well, let's just look at the characters in the film, because like obviously it's going to be somebody that we've seen already. So it's either Donald Sutherland, this white lady, you know, this guy who got killed off screen and it's like suspicious. Why didn't we see him get killed in person? Or it's actually the person that they're showing us, which would be pretty anticlimactic at the end if the real villain was the person that they were showing us the whole time. And that's it, you know? And the thing is, the dude who was like, we believe is the villain is kind of a villain, you know? And I believe he is actually the one responsible for all of the refugees dying.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And didn't he set up the assassination? Wasn't that?
Yeah. I think the woman did it.
Because he had a squib, right? He didn't even get shot. He had a squib.
The woman did, though, I thought.
Exactly. He played along with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then had the gang that he was affiliated with go to kill Wesley Snipes and the other woman.
This is the thing. This is the thing about it being by the numbers. Okay. So this was, so I knew Michael Bay was going to die. Parentheses. What is this? Quotation marks. I knew Michael Bay was going to die. Quotation marks. Because when he was like, when there was that whole thing about like, oh, don't smoke. It's a no smoking court. It was like, okay, all right. They're trying to show us how much Wesley Snipes cares about Michael Bay. But then when he died, not only did he die off camera, but he died off camera and he was supposedly close by and we didn't hear the shots. See, here's the thing. In The Walking Dead, if you die off camera, if don't nobody see you die, you ain't dead. You're coming back.
That's every movie.
Yeah.
Literally at one point, we were watching it. Rachel goes, is this, like she just walked in and she goes, is that white man can't jump? Because Wesley Snipes was playing basketball with him. And I was like, yo, low key. Wesley State.
It kind of was.
Yo, like Wesley State playing.
That's why they did
basketball
it.
Basketball with a white dude.
That had to be why they did it, though, right? There probably wasn't even a. Well, they do have a callback to it. They're like, he says something like street style or street rules or whatever at the end when they're gonna fight at the
what's
end.
Can I ask you what's happening? Is there like, does Wesley have like a sixth sense where he like can replay a crime scene, or are they flashbacks? Like, what was the, like, he would.
Yeah, I think so. I think he, like, one of his skills was, like, putting together.
But he wouldn't look at it. at one point when he was chasing the shooter, he wasn't stumbling across stuff. The shooter jumped through the window and he just looked up and like, it was like, oh, the shooter tried to get through this door. There wasn't no bullet
casing.
Wait,
which time are you talking about? Because there's the time where he witnesses what's her name die. And then he's kind of looking at the broken glass. And then he's like in his head replaying what probably happened, you know? And he's like, oh, that's probably when she got smashed there. And then she got smashed over here, you know? And then there's the part towards the end.
That's what I'm talking about.
He's chasing after this assassin again. And now he's remembering like, wait a minute, we just went through the same kind of configuration, which is also really weird. And I actually didn't understand the significance of it.
I thought it was his trauma. It was his trauma coming back to him from that. Because that was when he lost his friend, you know, Michael Bain, who he didn't know at the time he was chasing.
What was the point?
And he never talks about his friend again. I mean, that
no funeral.
That was weak sauce.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone. You're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl though, sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
What I will say is really hard with an action movie is like, I think sometimes people throw the pacing off of these movies. Like if you watch a really good action movie, it's probably an action beat at the very opening of the scene. But then there's like a solid 15, 20 minutes. If it's good, if it's Beverly Hills Cop, if it's, you know, again, if it's Predator, it's just team building or like whatever the character builds. And we just take the minute. May feel a little long and then you like murk somebody real quick, but it's like a 15, 20 minute of just like character building. And this movie tried to do it in one scene with like Wesley and the dude from Terminator. And it's like, that's not enough because now we don't care about him being a bad guy. Even if you think about, like Bray said, Mission Impossible does that double cross pretty often, but you still see the person. You know what I mean? The person is there and we get it. In this movie, he just vanishes.
You also have the double cross being slightly deeper than we think it is because there's that other member of the team that's with him the whole time that is also double crossing him, but he didn't really, you know. And this movie tried to do that with the FBI woman who was in charge of, or the UN woman who was in charge of everything.
Right, because he tells her, she actually tells him there's somebody. There's a mole inside. It's funny because there is a way if you zoom out, you're like, yeah, damn, her plan actually was chess. Like she was thinking 12 steps ahead, like in a way that I don't know how she could understand that things would play out that way. But she did. But then it's all undermined by the end of this movie and the way that the stuff plays out. It just doesn't make any sense. And once again, the stakes are so low because I don't care about this trade agreement. And that's the like ticking time, the ticking.
But you don't care about any character. Like my thing is, we're not worried about Wesley. We don't know enough about, what is her name? The lead.
I think you care a little bit about her.
I mean, I'm worried about Wesley and I care. And I don't want the girl to die.
The translator, because the translator also has her friend that died and like these people are dying around her that, you know, and something, you know, like you kind of feel about her more so than you feel about Wesley, like in the same way that you feel about like Will Smith and Enemy of the State. You're like, they don't know what's going on, and they don't, this shit's just happening around them, and you just hope that they're going to be okay by the end of it, you know?
That's a good movie, man. Remember Regina King in that movie? That movie was so ahead of its time because that's the world we live in. They can literally track you everywhere you go, and we accept it. Damn, that's crazy. This movie, not so much. But you know what, though? Again, Wesley's waves, fire. At one point in the movie, they just had close-up, like they had the Michael Bay circle shot. And I was like, yo, I'm this is not even a joke, dead ass. There were two moments, one like when he was fighting, and like, where was he? Was he in a club? Well, it was one point he was fighting, but then at the end of the movie when he's in the middle of the street and they circle his hairline, and I was like, ooh, that boy waves is mean. And he put a little shine on them jumps. I was like, ooh. Oh, also, how are you going to set up Shang Tsung as like a big bad? And then like what are we saying about this movie? I don't even know how to talk about this movie because it's so like meaningless to me. Like, do we talk about Wesley?
Well, at the end of the day, white people ruin everything.
Oh, the big bad?
Chris
Tucker has been saying that since Rush Hour 2, okay? It's usually the white dude is the big bad, the rich white man. This one's the lady.
Something that was cool about this, I don't see it enough and stuff, and I think it's mostly because I don't actually watch enough things like this. This made me think of that moment in The Harder They Fall when Eddie Kathegi kisses his lucky, whatever his lucky thing is, his lucky coin, and gets shot at the same time as the kiss. The moment when Wesley pulls down my guy's bandage and there's nothing because he didn't actually get shot. And then he instantly gets shot in that same spot. That was so cool. Like stuff like that is fun.
That was cool.
You know what was cool? Like, for real. Like, I was online while watching this movie, and I was like, man, I should paint, like, my apartment. You know what I'm saying? And I was, like, going through all the colors of paint. And they have, like, different colors of white paint and, like, grayish, like, blue paint.
Wait, are you trying to long walk?
No.
That you would rather watch paint dry instead of watching this?
No, I'm not saying that. I would rather pick out paint, Bray. I'd rather go to a store. Matter of fact, Bray, I don't even need the paint out. Give me the little sticks.
Y'all didn't respond to my Art of Wall comment, though. I just thought that Art of Wall was fun.
First of all, I thought it was rude because I was trying to do a joke, and then second, it wasn't that funny.
You guys can't joke on top of joke each other, okay? All right? That's not what this podcast is, all right? What's political? Was this movie offensive? Like, did someone say a racial slur in this joke?
Yeah, there was a few times I kept being like, I don't know if I can speak to some of this stuff. Well, when Michael Bain is like, those people make great doctors.
Right, that's what it was.
Those people.
And
yeah, you know, the Asians.
What about these people? And then he pointed to his skin color, and he was like, those people need to stop getting shot. And I was like,
ooh,
that was fully racist.
Yeah, it's like I appreciate that Wesley was like, I'm not going to let that slide. I am going to comment on it, but then. Then he let it slide.
Then he let the worst, to me, even a worse offense slide. And then I'm like, we're supposed to be like, these guys are friends?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that betrayal didn't mean anything because it just, outside of the fact that they obviously worked together, but it was just like, they didn't seem like they were friends. And then, why did he do it? Because he was a psychopath. And that stuff is so weak.
Speaking to him being a psychopath, cut to the newspaper article of how they write off the translator character in the news of like she was raped. They found raped and murdered. And then when the FBI woman answers the phone, she's like, I'm just admiring your handiwork. I'm sorry. What? Like, that was like, what even is this moment? Like, it's gross. It makes me uncomfortable. And even though it's not real, it's not what really happened, it's a fake, you know, headline, that is just as disgusting, you know? I didn't like it.
Make Donald Sutherland, like, I thought Donald Sutherland was going to be the bad guy at one point, or, like, help out.
Hey, you know what? I love this movie just for the fact that it ruined Gerard's idea, his... his principal, his like, well, hey, if there's a famous person, then they gotta be something. And it was like, nope, here's Donald Sutherland just in a meaningless
like
role.
Wait, like why? I was like, literally, I thought she was gonna be talking to him at the end, but then when he just became like a regular dude, I was like, why did you do this movie? Like, he must have had some kids. He must have had like a couple kids and was like, hey, these little motherfuckers gotta go to college.
There couldn't have been more than 3 to 4 shoot days for this for him. Like, he was barely in this movie and probably got paid a nice little chunk of money.
You know how I knew he knew that it was the role wasn't shit? It was the line he had when he's talking to the, what is her name? Because I keep calling her the FBI woman, and that's got to be offensive.
And Eleanor she's not Hooks. An FBI woman.
she's a UN.
It's like you're wrong on two. Yeah.
So Eleanor Hooks, when he's talking to her, and he's like, oh no, I'm. You should tell me everything from now on.
Listen, little lady.
He gave that line. He gave no emotion. He was like, I'm the boss around here. But like, you could tell Donald Sutherland knew that wasn't true. he fully phoned that delivery that in. And I was like, nothing. Okay, all right. All right. Yeah.
Have we done all the Blades?
All right. we have not done Blade 3, right?
Yo, okay, wait, time out. Can I tell y'all the most offensive part of this movie to me? And okay, Bray's gonna laugh. This is how bored I got at one point. I started looking up photos of Wesley Snipes and I started looking at his hands. I was like, yo, let me look at what this man's like, the color of his hands. Because at one point, when Wesley is doing an investigation and like he like does the spin, which makes no sense, and breaks the glass, like James brought up earlier, a hand reaches in and there's no body, there's no clothes. You just see a hand reach in and grab weapons. The hand is the hand of a white man.
Oh no.
Okay. It's not a Wesley Snipes hand. I'm not even joking.
Wait, what?
No, look, I'm gonna show you Wesley Snipes hands. I'm gonna show you. Wait. Yo, I'm like,
listen to me, Gerard.
I wish I was joking. Dog.
Listen to
James,
me. It's
James.
It's a trick of the light. Wesley, there's some reflection
Wesley Snipes
happening. His life
is known as one if not the most handsome dark-skinned man to ever exist in Hollywood. Hit James is no.
There
way.
Was a light
I'm
a flare.
Because y'all ain't gonna play me like this. Hold on.
Yeah, you have to screenshot it. I don't remember.
Yo,
this.
He's looking, Bray. When you see these hands, Bray, I'm about to screenshot the. I wish I was joking. This is not a bit. Like this is dead. I'm dead serious. Hold on.
Oh my god. How did you? I just, as much as I like this actress, Maria Matiko, who played Julia Fang, I feel like she didn't get that much to do. Like, there were the scenes between them, they actually legit had chemistry together, these two.
I agree.
And I feel like I wanted more, you know? Mm-hmm. I actually think there was more chemistry between them than between Will and Taya Leone.
I agree.
And Bad Boys.
Oh, shit. I mean, yeah, I feel like this movie was trying to do that a little bit harder, though, too. Like, you know, like we weren't split between, you know, Wesley's character and then another character who's around her, you know, who is like also kind of batting away any kind of sexual tension, you know, like,
right.
I liked them too. And I liked them together. And she didn't have a ton to do. The thing that was frustrating to me was I was hoping she was going to come in and do something to Michael Bane during that final fight sequence between Wesley and Michael, even if it was just like knocking him over the head or whatever. Because
how do I screenshot? How do I screenshot? What's the buttons on the Mac? Command.
Command.
See, y'all think
shift.
Y'all think I'm
four,
crazy.
I think.
See,
four.
No.
Are you sincerely right now looking at a white man's hand?
Bruh, I'm not, I'm dead, like, watch. And I'm going to show you a photo of this, and I'm going to show you a photo of Wesley Snipes. And y'all
gonna
be like,
I'm not going to also need Wesley Snipes' hands.
Wait,
if I'm looking at
a
white man's hand.
Listen, this fine. Is real. Can I put it in the chat?
Just put it in the...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Wait. All right, I got it.
Yeah, I really wondered, especially because she was so distraught about her friend being killed, and it was apparently Michael Bane who did that. And then he was like toying with her. It was so gross the way that he was like, what is it, torturing her while she was like walking around alone in the UN building. And I just wanted anything, any kind of thing when he had Wesley on the ropes.
And why was he doing that?
Loose ends, I guess.
Just because.
Because, well, that's the rape comment in the news. I think it's connected to that. Like, she was like, you have 30 minutes.
Oh, no.
And like, literally, like, it was like, you have 30 minutes so you can play with this.
Well, why 30 minutes? Why not?
I don't. It's gross. It makes me very uncomfortable if I think any further about this final sequence.
Just because she was like sick and twisted and wanted to like mess with him. Okay.
She called it his handiwork to see that she was found raped and murdered at the end. I thought that was so.
I thought it was like 30 minutes until the cops came back.
But was that even his handiwork? I thought it was the Chinese gang's handiwork.
Who did Michael? No, Bly. So the phone call was from Bly. So she thought when she picked up the phone, she thought she was talking to Michael Bane. And then it ended up being Wesley Snipes.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
Just so y'all know, I emailed y'all the white man hand that is not Wesley Snipes' hand.
Oh, wow. Very official.
I see. Because that was at the end of the movie. And the woman who was supposed to be raped and murdered was Julia.
Has anyone seen this hand?
Yes.
Now look at Wesley Snipes.
I'm looking at the hand. You right. This is...
Now look at Wesley Snipes. And then look at that hand.
No, I don't even need to look at Wesley Snipes' hand. These are clearly...
That's not a lighting thing. That is a random white man standing there for Wesley Snipes, yo. I didn't see Wesley... I'm going to show you a photo of Wesley Snipes' hands on the red carpet.
I think this is a lighting thing. This is a black hand.
There it is.
All right, you know what? I'm going to go find another photo of Wesley Snipes on the red carpet. Melissa, you see the hand? That's not a black hand,
this
Bray.
This is a black hand.
That's not a black hand.
Yeah, it is. You think it's a white hand that has dark makeup on it?
I don't even think that's a dark makeup. That's a tan hand.
No, I think feel like brown skin hand. It could be a stand-in's hand and potentially the skin tone does not match. I do think that it could be that. I don't see a white man's hand here necessarily.
That's a butterscotch hand compared to a chocolate hand. Okay.
I mean, it's probably a stand-in.
I have had a stand-in be lighter skinned than me and have
that's probably a
people,
hand, yeah.
People trying to deal with
white.
With what that means.
That ain't Wesley Snipes. We seen Blade. You know what it was? I was so bored and I was like,
I can't believe you caught that. Nah, I think you're right. That isn't Wesley. I agree that's not Wesley Snipes.
But his only break is he did a spin. Why did he do a spin to break the glass?
It's so funny that you noticed this. You were so bored watching this movie that you Google. It's funny that you felt like you needed to check and see if he somehow had lighter skin hands. Like you had to Google his hands to make sure. You were
that
like, let me just
that
check.
That ain't Wesley's hands, man. That ain't Wesley's hands. Anyway, y'all know the truth now. Y'all know the truth. You know, Bray, you said something earlier, and I only have one question. If they were to put what a black person in, what?
I just love it.
No, but if they were, because you were like, there should have been more, like, it was offensive. Wesley was the only black person. Where would another black person fit? Like, would you put him, like, would he be the big bad? Or would he, like...
I wouldn't mind a black woman, or I wouldn't mind Donald Sutherland's character being black.
What if, like, the translator... It was a black woman who just happens to know, she like knows the language inside and out.
I think that doesn't work because of the, because like it's like the Chinese, like, you know, you need it somebody, yeah. Even though the whole Chinese diplomat whole thing was boring, not because of it had nothing to do with Chinese culture. It was just like this weird political, you know, it's like literally they're arguing about like, you know, whatever that agreement we have a trade agreement with China. I forgot what it's called. And like Trump has talked about wanted to repeal it. I don't know if he did.
Because that's the issue is like, I was listening to Vox today and they were talking about China and also Russia. And it's like, yo, what's happening with everybody? And why is America looking like punks and all this other stuff? It's kind of wild. We're not a political podcast, but Vox, you know, you want to listen to them. They're a political podcast. I think one of the most offensive things in this movie is that this movie does something that Bad Boy sets up and does not follow through on. And neither does this movie. Okay. All right. And Bad Boys, you're like, oh man, shit. Is Mike Lowry and T. Leon, are they about to, you know, get jiggy with it? And in this movie, I'm like, oh shit, are we finally about to see a swirl that doesn't involve a white person? And we didn't. We literally didn't.
And it makes no sense because they literally end the movie together in a separate country and they're clearly together romantically, but we never actually see them be romantic throughout the entirety of the film. He sees her naked, kind of, because she has to change her clothes. So it's like, they're like, well, still, don't worry, we'll still objectify this woman.
I feel like that happens in so many movies where they're like, you have a tracker, you have to get naked. And it's just like, what? And then when he found out that the tracker was in his body, he ain't say sorry or nothing for making that woman fully stripped down.
Also, what sucks about it, too, is that the reason I bring up Wesley is like, at one point in time, Wesley was considered one of the most attractive men in Hollywood, period. Like, period. So to see him in this movie, still in all his Wesley-ness, like, seeing him help, like, and I will say this, everyone knows this, you two know this, we all know it because we're geniuses, but like, Wesley single-handedly, okay, started the superhero boom in 1998, okay? We know this. You have this man who literally started a thing on a character that no one gave two shits about. All right. And you're not going to have him be a sex symbol in this movie. Like, literally, you got him. The only time Wesley is truly, truly a sex symbol and he does something that's like, oh, he has this kind of like cool love interest is when you watch Jungle Fever. And in that movie, he getting shaded the whole time because he got Jungle Fever. Like the whole point of him like dating somebody, he's like, oh, this nigga got Jungle Fever. Ah, this movie, you could have did it. You could have had a swirl and you didn't. And I know where it should have been. Okay. I know where it should have been. It should have been the end of the movie. Like she's running, trying to get out of the rain. Then all of a sudden you see Wesley just coming to the frame. All right. He's shirtless with linen pants on. Okay. Shirtless with linen pants on. Just shirtless. The rain just coming all over him. Yeah. Yeah. He outside standing in the rain.
Outside.
And he's like, he's just standing there. Like, do I know you? And then she's still shaded under the rain and she's like, maybe. He's like, maybe you should come a little closer and see if I'm still wounded, right? And then she runs out and now they both in the rain. And then she looks and she's like, oh man, you got the wound, it's healed. He's like, yeah, but my heart's still broken. And then she's like, oh, I'm here for that. And then they embrace in the rain. And then we do that circular move. And he's like, hey, sorry, baby, we got to get out of this rain. My wave's going to get dry. And then they like run off to a hotel. You know what I'm saying? You're welcome, Bray. I see you looking super excited. You're welcome. Bray, you're welcome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he was wounded, but he's still wounded because his heart. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate that. Oh, also, why didn't Michael Bay utilize the fact that he had a wound on his shoulder the whole fight sequence? He could have been aiming for that. Like, he knocked him down during the basketball game, but he doesn't do it at all in the whole fight. Made no sense.
It's so weird that he didn't. Yeah. Doesn't make any sense.
Yo, also, what's up with that gunfight? Like, are we not, like, what was that gunfight?
Okay, yes. Finally, we got... Yeah. Why did they borrow from the Matrix? Why did they do that?
Because that shit was fire. The
bullets. They literally were like, hey, wasn't that cool in The Matrix when they had that like cool bullet time? Like, let's put that in this movie. Version. And they're like, wait, do you realize that the Matrix had a built-in reason to do that, right? They were in a computer simulated world and it wasn't real. And it's like, yeah, but it's also just cool. And it's like, okay, but how are they dodging bullets? And they're like, we don't need to. Why? Did you like The Matrix? And it's like, yeah, but no, then put it in this film. All right.
I loved it. I was here for it. I was like, everything I've seen up until this point has been very lackluster, and they, for no reason at all, CGI'd the bullets in this final scene.
It was like, and also, they weren't even running fast. Like, the white dude was, like, slipping.
We don't need it. I didn't even understand it.
They weren't moving fast. It was just so that we could see exactly where the bullets were going. That's all we needed to do.
Oh, you're right. That's actually what it was. It was just like, so they literally watched this and they were like, this looks terrible. And somebody was like, what if we put the bullets in so that it seems like we could see the bullets and that they're dodging them? And they were like, yeah, I guess so.
You have an actor who is fantastic at hand-to-hand choreography. And you got him like, literally, at least if you're going to have Wesley do that, Wesley can do flips. Had my man bounce off the wall or something. The white dude at one point, and I'll never forget it, is like they kind of run around each other, and the actor slips, okay? He slips, and then like two bullets go past him, and I'm like, was that on purpose? Was he supposed to look this messy? And then they go back to back and are about to reload. I'm like, just fight. What is playground rules?
The back-to-back reloading thing made so little sense. It was literally just copied the Matrix. They both emptied their clip and they were like, well, let's reload and keep going. I was like, you guys are just stealing this from one of the best films.
Here's what would have made it better, though.
Here's
what made that scene better, though, right? It's right when that's happening, right? They end up going back-to-back, you know? And they start loading. And then all of a sudden we hear a voice. It's like,
I thought this was a gunfight.
It is a gunfight.
I thought we were doing a gunfight.
And then cut two, down the hall, still standing there. You know what I'm saying? All in the full garb, you know?
Okay.
And then he takes out his hammer and he starts shooting with his hammer. And we follow the laser of the hammer, you know? As it's like just going past, and he doesn't know which side he's on because he's like, I'm not quite clear on what is the trade agreement. I don't know. I'm going to just, you know, and all he knows is one guy's wanted and the other guy's shooting at the other guy, you know, so he's shooting at both.
Who does he help, James? Does he help the other man?
Is a whole, he shoots.
Wow.
He shoots both of them.
Wow.
You know, because he doesn't know which side to be on.
So that's Steel versus Blade?
They're both there.
I think Blade will win.
Yeah, both of them.
So he shoots Wesley Snipes.
It's not Steel versus Blade, though. He's not. Wesley Snipes isn't Blade in this one.
First off, he's always Blade. Listen, I love Mahershala Ali, but low-key, Wesley Snipes is Blade. Like, I mean, like, I'm like...
That don't make sense.
Come on, man. It's got to be. There's no way you're not going to have...
They'll do it. They'll do it in multiverse.
He Blade. He better be Blade cousin. Because, like, it's Wesley... Because the thing about it is Wesley is still so good. I saw something he was, like, I think he's in, like, what was that Expendables. And, like, he's still doing hand-to-hand shit. And I'm like, yo, it'd be different if Wesley was too old to get this done. Wesley can still, like, break an arm. You know what I'm saying? Put you in a finger lock, and then you just got to follow him.
Yeah.
You know? Play these games with Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, Wesley's what? He's 60.
All right.
He's 60 this year. He's 60 this year.
Man, that generation really took care of themselves, man. Wow.
It's time. You're just picking the best people from it.
Bray, that's the only time. What do you mean, Bray?
It's not
that's all I see.
Anyway.
That's all I see on TV, Bray, is the best. Okay?
All right. Betty White lived to damn near 100, and Dick Van Dyke's still going. That generation did pretty well, too, then, you know?
No, they good. But Wesley, Holly, J-Lo, they Keanu, they still hot though. They like hot. You know what I'm saying? The other ones are healthy.
It's
no, Bray, we're going through the list of
we review films not based on how much we like them. whether or not they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. All right. If we think the film fully helped the cause, we give it a Black Fist. If we think it's someone helped the cause, we give it a White Palm. If we think it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything.
Great.
Count of three, we're going to put up our ratings for this movie, The Art of War, whether it helped the cause, not whether we liked it. How about that?
Okay, whether it helped the cause.
Whether it helped the cause. Count of three. One.
Mm-hmm.
Two.
Right.
Three.
Wow. How dare you?
One white palm.
One white palm.
Damn, that's like a 16% around Tamika.
Well, I'll talk about why I gave it a palm. I gave it a palm because, I mean, it's another Wesley Snipes movie.
Fair
Obviously,
enough.
This movie didn't help him.
Don't do this.
No, it didn't.
The exposure of him and Marie in this movie specifically, I was like, I don't think it deserves nothing for having, like, you know, getting Wesley another chance to flex. And then also the exposure of this, of particularly Marie. You know, there's obviously a lot of Asian actors in this movie, but she stood out to me. You know, granted, the movie didn't make money, and then therefore people didn't really see it. And so, like, this doesn't become a propelling point movie. That's why I didn't give it a fist. But I couldn't give it nothing because I really think that this was a nice vehicle for those two.
I gave it nothing because aside from Wesley's nice waves, I he didn't do his action stuff. Like, honestly, aside from his waves and moisturizing technique, I was like, what's the point?
Okay. I gave it nothing because I don't know if it helped anybody. Definitely didn't help Wesley, and I don't think it helped Black people. I will say, I was looking at Marie's IMDb, and the next film she did was The Sum of All Fears, in which she played a role that's uncredited.
Damn.
That's rude.
And then she was in a TV movie called Counter-Strike. Do you remember that video game?
Was it arcade or was it like PS?
Yeah,
it was PS1.
Like, I don't know. That was a TV movie. But then she did a film called Gang of Roses, which I've never heard of before. But it stars Stacey Dash and Lil' Kim. And I think we should do this movie at some point because this.
I think we have to. Is she one of the top builds?
And she is. She's on the.
She's just in it.
She's one of the top builds. It's called Gang of Roses, and it's an all female gang of old West Bank robbers that comes out of retirement to rescue a sister in peril. All right.
This feels like. It's starting to feel like it was shot on like somebody's handheld digital camera.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I looked it up and
they got costumes.
It didn't make that much money.
Oh no, is she wearing a do-rag?
But was it in? Did it get into theaters?
Oh no,
it must have. No, there's a box office, so it must have gotten to theaters.
Oh my goodness.
All right. Anyway, but yeah, this movie artwork got nothing. Okay, here we go.
All right. Well, I think it deserves more than one. White palm.
Yeah.
But that's all right. That's okay.
Maybe it deserved two white palms.
We gonna be all right. Yeah, there it is. Two white palms. I'll put up two white palms.
No, that's you don't. That's not how it works.
Okay.
So thank you so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, blackmenpodcast.com. It's our website. We have links to merchandise. We got t-shirts and iPhone covers, things like that. We also have a defunct Patreon. No new episodes, but there is a year's worth of episodes on there.
That's true. That's
yeah, funny. The tweets have stopped coming in. Don't nobody want us to do none of these other things.
And that's fine. You know, and that's okay. And that's why we're not doing them. But if you want to listen to those, throw us $5 a month for however long you feel like it, you can. Also, if you review us on iTunes, rate and review us, give us 5 stars. We'll read your review on the air. This is Jacovelli, and it says Lady Sings the Blues with Diana Ross is coming back to select theaters on February 20th. Maybe you guys could review a movie from 1972 coming back has to be worth 3 black fists. Okay, I'm going to put that movie on our letterbox. Oh, that's right. We have a letterbox if you want to, you know, tweet at us and say, hey, or Instagram, you know. This is what you should review. We'll put it on our list. That's how somebody got us to review this movie.
Can I be honest, though? I fell asleep. And then...
Wow.
And then I woke up and I had to go back and watch. Like, I watched the whole movie. So I had to go back and watch what I missed. And the thing that I ended up missing was her having that... Her saying that she was miles away. I was at a I was at a cafe in front. Like the reason that they're there at the end, I missed that part, and then I missed how the moment right before she goes to the UN agent Hooks, and then how, and then the moment before he meets up with Michael Bain again. So I had to go back and watch that. But that's not the movie's fault.
All right.
That's, you know, my, I'm going through my own stuff. I was a little tired when I watched it. I had to go back and watch it. It's fine.
Is there a new movie? Is there a new movie with a black person coming out soon? Jeez, when does The Rock have a new movie coming out? That's our go-to.
All right. Are we still on, or are we say, did we say peace?
No, no, we still on. We don't want the people to help. Like, what's the news to do black people? I'm asking for help, right? Help us. Help us.
We'll see you next week.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
Forever Dog.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!